It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
Schedule-wise, we might have to do some dancing around today. We've got that live press conference coming up at 1 o'clock thereabouts about the Goshen massacre. Six people were killed, including a baby. And handprints all over this look like drug cartel, California gangs, nasty. Also, at that time, as you know, we have our weekly get-together with Steve Hilton from Fox News, which is always a lot of fun, talking to our favorite Brit. Now, an American citizen, God bless, salute him. Don't know quite how that's going to work out. Usually Steve is very flexible, so we might have to push him into another day this week or start him at 1:30, something like that. Now, I've been talking about the wacky actions of politicians as of late, doing just strange things. This is something that happened in our program director's hometown of Albuquerque, New Mexico, where he has been taking care of a family situation for a couple of weeks. And in Albuquerque, there is a Republican former candidate for the New Mexico House of Representatives. He was arrested yesterday for allegedly organizing men to shoot at the homes of Democratic officials, like three or four of them. Joining us on this one, up close and personal, is the news director from our sister station, used to be part of the Sister City program here in California, our sister station back in Albuquerque, KKOB, and they just turned 100 years old like we did. This is John Sullivan. John, welcome to KMJ.
Yeah, hi, Ray. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. A little strange, this individual. His name is what? Solomon Pena? What's his background? What's his story?
Well, he ran for district, the District 14 seat, which covers the southern section of Albuquerque, and it's the 14th legislative district of New Mexico. He lost to long-term Democrat incumbent Miguel Garcia. Miguel Garcia had attempted to have Pena disqualified from the election due to Pena's past felonies. Apparently, Pena had spent several years. In fact, he tweeted himself that he'd spent something like a little over 9 years behind bars for previous convictions of felonies, including burglary, larceny, receiving stolen property, and contributing to the delinquency of a minor. Now, that's according to the Santa Fe New Mexican. And he got out of prison and claims that he had changed his life.
Don't they all? I was going to ask you, Mr. Summers, if indeed he had a background like that, and you filled in that blank very quickly. So he conscripted these individuals to go shoot them up at Democrats' homes. Were they paid? Were they buddies of his? How did that all come to pass?
Well, apparently he paid them $500, four of them at least, at four elected officials' homes. And he apparently even took part in one of the shootings.
Oh, nice guy. About how old of a guy is this guy, John?
Let's see. I think he's 39.
Okay, so he's youngish.
Yeah.
The individuals that were hired to do this, their backgrounds, are they individuals from his shadier days? What's the relationship between these guys?
Well, we're still getting a lot of information on that as we speak. Not sure exactly what the ties are. These things are all being straightened out little by little. But apparently, he posted photos with at least one. And all we know is that he encouraged them. He would send them texts of the addresses of the homes that he wanted fired upon. And they would conduct their rampage on the house.
These individuals that were picked out on the Democratic team, why were they picked out? Is there any reasoning for that you know of, sir?
Well, he claims that the vote was rigged against him. He even showed up at one of the officials' homes trying to discuss, quotation marks there, the fact that he believed the election was rigged against him. But he lost by a huge margin.
So there's nothing, no legs for that story to stand on, none.
Apparently not. It's just one of these things that he couldn't let go, I guess.
You know, the most important question I should have asked earlier is, was anybody hurt?
No, fortunately not, even though, according to some sources, it said that he instructed the gunman to fire lower at the homes. So perhaps, you know, they would strike somebody. But apparently his gunmen weren't too excited about that idea.
Yeah. If you're just joining us, John Summers is the news director of our sister station back in Albuquerque, KKOB. And we're talking of a disgruntled Republican who didn't win his race for the New Mexican House and decided to single out some Democratic, legislators or, public servants and have their home shot at. So the point, John, was just to scare these people. I mean, he wasn't trying to kill them, correct? But just taking some pot shots at their house for giggles and you-know-whats.
Well, that's kind of up in the air because some of the evidence points to the fact that he encouraged them, as I said earlier, to shoot lower into the house instead of, like toward the ceiling. Mm. A lot of these shots were toward the roof or the ceiling up higher, and that's all we know basically at this point.
And this took place over the course of about a month, I understand, correct?
Right, from early December until this past week. He was arrested yesterday in Albuquerque after a SWAT team incident forced him out and arrested, taken to Metropolitan Detention Center.
What a goofball. Blake, who just returned from there, your area, says people were really uptight, very scared. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, no one knew really what was going on. In fact, some of the targeted victims didn't even realize that their house had been shot at until maybe hours later. One or two said that they thought it was fireworks going off. And then, the next morning they walk out and find these holes in their home's walls.
Oh, that's got to be real nice. That's good for the kids all that. If anyone indeed had kids, and I'm sure they did, that's very unnerving. You may have mentioned
right,
it, but
in fact, one of the targets, lady, she had a daughter who was apparently in bed at the time, and some of the bullets come flying through her room.
Oh, God.
And some of the powder from the wall landed in her bed. She woke up from it, apparently.
You may have mentioned it, and I may have missed it, but what does this guy do for a living?
That I'm not sure of, to be honest. I don't know exactly what he has been doing, except causing trouble for his opponents.
I guess so. And this election, was it in November? Was it part of the midterm?
Right.
Guess he didn't take that too well. Took him some time to respond.
It's just a very odd response.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, like I said earlier, he lost in a landslide to the incumbent, who once again had tried to keep him from being allowed to run in the first place.
And was the incumbent's home on the targeted list of people he was taking a shot at?
Let's see. I believe so. There were four altogether, and I think so.
I've got the names.
They were four locals.
Javier Martinez, Debbie O'Malley, Linda Lopez, and let's see, Adrian Barboa.
No, Miguel Garcia was the opponent he ran against.
So he didn't even bother to go after the guy. Oh, wow. This is even gets stranger by the moment.
Apparently not.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that I've missed that we need to know?
Well, New Mexico's House Republican leader, Ryan Lane, came out and said it's just another example of a convicted felon unlawfully gaining access to firearms, which they're obviously barred from owning or possessing. So this is a problem.
The Republican Party back there, how have they responded, or have they?
Oh, yes. They came out with a statement this morning and declared that they are totally against any form of violence, obviously, and they're glad that this is concluded.
Amen. Well, John, thank you for your time. We appreciate this. Hopefully, hopefully this is the end of that guy for a while, and everybody can
perhaps breathe. We'll have another topic later down the road that's a bit more positive to share with you.
That would be nice, wouldn't it? Anyway, carry on, my friend. Good talking to you, and I'm glad it's over, and the people of Albuquerque are basically safe, at least from this guy for the moment.
Well, thank you, Ray.
You take care. Have a good one. John Summers on KMJ, who is the news director of our sister station back there, and I have to add again, they just turned 100. Yay! KKOB. And the story of this guy, Solomon Pena, a Republican, who was not happy about, you know, losing a race where he lost by a landslide, even though he was screaming that the race was rigged, you know. And he's so, what does he do? He hires people to take shots at, you know, Democratic public servants' home. Brilliant! This is KMJ.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Get Ray Appleton. Subscribe to the Ray Appleton Podcast right now. It's free.
Today's Daily Buzz question, KMJNow.com. Where does America stand on race relations? Huh. Let us now know. Vote now, KMJNow.com. And the Buzz question is sponsored by the Buzz Allergy, Asthma, and Sinus Centers. Coming up after news, we'll talk about this report from the former National Intelligence Director, John Ratcliffe, sounding an alarm, a national alarm over a new UFO report. Of all people to be sounding an alarm about UFOs, John Ratcliffe is credible, very straight-laced, a very intelligent, soft-spoken gentleman. I can't imagine him being on the edge of any goofball controversy. Just no way. So whatever this is, it's real deal stuff. And we will share soon on KMJ. Weird story coming out of Romania. Those of you who like fighting, so to speak, Romanian law enforcement officials have reportedly seized millions of dollars worth of assets from a Bucharest compound belonging to the former kickboxer and social media influencer Andrew Tate. Yeah, amid their sex trafficking investigation into this guy, Andrew Tate, kickboxer. It's a lot of money in feet, I guess, kickboxing. The Romanian National Agency for Administration of Seized Assets says it seized more than a dozen, just check this price out, a dozen high-end vehicles, including a Rolls-Royce, a Ferrari, a Porsche, a BMW, an Aston Martin, my all-time favorite, and a Lamborghini and a Mercedes-Benz. That's just, I mean, where's the Bentley? Let's see, Rolls-Royce, Ferrari, Porsche, BMW, Aston Martin, Lamborghini, Mercedes-Benz, no Bentley. And they also seized more than a dozen watches valued at $4 million. A dozen watches valued at $4 million. So Andrew Tate has been detained, along with his brother Tristan. Two other individuals in the investigation into human trafficking and rape. That's the alleged crime. And four suspects total appear to have, how do I want to put this, created, organized a crime group with the purpose of recruiting, housing, exploiting women by forcing them to create pornographic content meant to be seen on specialized websites for a cost. Yeah. And they, you know, they've gained a lot of big sums of money from this little sideline that they had. Romania's Directorate for Investigating Organized Crime and Terrorism alleges the four suspects operated this criminal enterprise not only over there, but throughout the United States as well, and Europe. They were worldwide. Authorities allege that the suspects sort of tricked, I guess maybe is a good word, their victims into believing they intended to enter into marriage, a cohabitation relationship, a serious relationship, and were later subjected to physical violence, mental coercion, and were sexually exploited by group members by forcing them to perform pornographic demonstrations, their words, not mine, for the purpose of producing and disseminating through social media platforms. That's European press quote. Although the two are unrelated, Tate was arrested shortly after he got a Twitter spat with a far-left climate activist, Greta Thunberg. Do you know her? Remember that the young girl from Sweden who was like, what, 12 to 15 at the time? I can barely remember. She was very young. And she's, what is going on between these two? Very weird. Tate tweeted at Thunberg last month about his extensive car collection. Hello, Greta Thunberg. I have 33 cars. My Bugatti has a quad turbo. My two Ferrari 812s have 6.5-liter engines. This is just the start. Please provide your email address so I can send a complete list of my car collection and their respective enormous emissions. This obviously is about far-left climate stuff, if he's bragging on their respective enormous emissions. She responded, yes, please do enlighten me. Email me at, and then she provides an email address. What the hell? So obviously, you know, he was either trying to get into an intentional political spat with her, or this is about human trafficking and young girls. It could have been both. Both meaning she's young, she's attractive, and oh, goody, goody, look what we can play with here. What a weird story. Weird story. And to see that this guy's been operating, you know, worldwide and is worth millions and millions and millions of dollars. Did he get that millions and millions and millions of dollars from just being a social media influencer and a kickboxer? somehow that doesn't work for me. Yeah. Now, I've heard of Andrew Tate. I'm not real big on who or what he is, but apparently, I mean, to be fair here, maybe he could have earned that in the ring doing what he does. But sounds like he had a very, very good, big, fat, monetarily influenced in a positive way, life. But no more. Just, and it's interesting to see that he is, you know, picked out this young girl from Sweden who's big on climate stuff to get into a spat with on Twitter, you know. China has recorded its first population dip in decades. Decades and decades and decades. The births dropped there. The Chinese population shrank for the first time last year as its birth rate plunged, according to officials over there. This is something that they've been wanting. Despite the official numbers, some experts believe China's population has been in decline for a few years, and a dramatic turn in a country that once sought to control through, you know, the birth rates through that one-child policy, apparently that has worked, the one-child policy. Many wealthy countries are struggling with how to respond to an aging workforce, which can be a drag on the economy and economic growth. But some experts say the demographic change will especially be difficult to manage in a developing economy like China's. Huh. Quote, China has become older before it's become rich. That's from a Chinese demographer and expert on the Chinese population trends at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. The National Bureau of Statistics reported Tuesday, and that's Tuesday last, that the country has 850,000 fewer people at the end of 2022 than in the previous year. I mean, that's big for China. And that tally only includes the population of mainland China, excluding Hong Kong and Macau, as well as any foreign restaurants. Restaurants? Why did I say that? Residents. Ha! Yeah, foreign restaurants are having children. So anyway, when we get back from news, we're going to tackle this story from John Ratcliffe, the former National Security Director, and a story that allegedly, by his own admission, has him alarmed about UFOs. And again, it's the source of this information, the individual who's alarmed. Wow. This is going to be interesting. I suggest you hang in there.
This is the Ray Appleton Show on News Talk 580, 105.9 KMJ and KMJNow.com.
Click the podcast page at KMJNow.com.
This is the recurring theme through both sides of the album. One continuous song. Kind of deemed a masterpiece of its time. But appropriately, sort of, kind of. The former director of National Intelligence, John Ratcliffe, he warned during an interview over the weekend that there is a brand new UFO report released by the government that showed an increase in unexplained sightings, which contained one major glaring issue. Now, Ratcliffe noted, and this is a straight guy, that the increased number of sightings in the report indicate, the way I see this, that the U.S. military pilots are being much more proactive in revealing what they see when they are up there in the air. For many years, they kept quiet out of fear of being grounded. And slowly but surely, when there seems to be more and more credibility to a lot of these sightings, they're now coming forward. And Ratcliffe added that there appears to be a technology that may be very superior to what the U.S. military has in its arsenal. Now, when he's talking about a technology and he was comparing it to the U.S. military arsenal, this is weaponry, correct? Quote, "I know everyone gets caught up on alien life and all that, but my concern as the director of national intelligence, if anyone, a foreign adversary, regardless of how you define foreign adversary, have technologies that the United States doesn't have, we need to find out more about that." And Ratcliffe is saying that there is a new report that's made it very clear that there are hundreds of unexplained sightings where there is no natural phenomenon involved. In other words, once all of the natural phenomenon is eliminated, there's nothing left, but it is what it is. Quote, "There's no visual disturbance. It's not clutter or debris or birds or anything else, but objects that demonstrate technologies that seem to defy the law of physics and capabilities that we do not have as the world's superpower. You know, our role in the federal government is to provide for the common defense. And we can't do that if somebody else has technologies that are much better than ours." So where is this going? What else is there? That's it. That's the story from the self-professed, and I mean it, this next statement, very disturbed National Intelligence Director John Ratcliffe, former, sounding this alarm over this new UFO report. Now, it's sketchy. It's vague. I wouldn't expect him in a first-time report to go, "Hey, guess what we found out? You know, they can blow us up with a blink of an eyelash." But what got me about this story is who it's coming from. John Ratcliffe has been on this program. I've met him two or three times now. Every time that I have met him, it's been back in Washington. A very straight, informed, intelligent man who's never been aligned with any crackpot theories or anything like that. He's a patriot, big time. He is in the business of knowing such things as the former director of national intelligence. Hello. Devin Nunes is the former chair of the Intel Committee in the House of Representatives, often referred privately in conversations about intelligence matters to John Ratcliffe as one of the strongest, most informed, most reliable sources we have in national intelligence. So that's why when this story popped out over the weekend, I was just kind of like, "Ooh, really? This is John Ratcliffe sounding an alarm about intelligence, so to speak, UFO activity." And again, I don't know that if this is a hike in actual UFO sightings or the fact that more and more pilots for the military are now feeling free to come forward, giving the impression that there are most sightings when there could be less or they could be about the same. There just appears to be this relaxed fear of losing your wings, being grounded by the U.S. military. And therefore, a lot of these military pilots are much more willing to talk. On the subject, this subject, Tony, you're on KMJ. Hi.
Yes, Ray. I've studied theoretical physics for 10 years, just listening to geniuses talk. And it's quite likely, Ray, that we have a multidimensional universe and that UFOs are operating in another dimension and we literally cannot see them because we're stuck in the fourth. You can see it explained by Neil deGrasse Tyson, America's most famous physicist, when he described in YouTube what is a multidimensional universe, and he explains it so that a 12-year-old could understand it pretty much. You find that on YouTube. There may be as many as 10 dimensions, and that the advanced civilizations that come here are way higher than we are, much wiser and millions of years ahead in technology, perhaps, that puts the edge on their side with regard to military operations.
All right, my man. Thank you. I don't know. I mean, that possibly this is dimensional stuff. You just don't know. When you try to suss out how individuals get from point A to point B from out there, it'll boggle your mind. Now, I have to tell you that reports of flying saucers and all of that and declassified information have been out there for a while. And one that seems to be gaining a lot of credibility is, oh, man, wish I could elaborate further, the fact that Adolf Hitler had found in Bavaria a frozen flying saucer. I've told you this story before. And one of the things that we were able to get from this so-called flying saucer and still use to this day is something we take for granted all the time. I'll tell you what that is in a second. Most of you have heard me tell the story. But Dr. Wernher von Braun, who was the great rocket scientist for the Nazis, was involved with the reverse engineering of this particular vehicle. And in the reverse engineering, he discovered basic rocket technology, which was not, according to the story, the type of mode or whatever you want to call it that got them here, but it had to do with the basic rocket technology of how they navigated around the planet once they got here. How they got here was even a bigger story. But in this basic rocket technology is something he applied immediately to Nazi aircraft, and because out of the blue, if you know about World War II Nazi aviation, just literally overnight, they were flying jets. And we were like, what in the hell is that? And next, it was rocket technology with von Braun launching, you know, things up there. And we cut a deal with him, even though he was a member of the Nazi Party. He was or he wasn't, I can't remember. But he was assigned by the Nazi Party to do all this stuff militarily. And we got him and we brought him over here and didn't press charges, any of that. It was a trade. Just tell us what you know. And he allegedly told this story of what Hitler found. And it was kind of a joke that one of the things that they were able to, you can tell I'm nervous telling you the story, I always am, get from this crashed spacecraft was off of the uniforms of the beings that were dead in the craft. And it's something that we use to this day, and it's Velcro. Velcro was like a huge discovery from this instrument that flew around that Hitler allegedly found during the middle days of World War II. This story I've been aware of for years. It seems to be getting more and more and more and more credibility. And that's all I can tell you, other than it's time to take a break. Comments? Sure. 490-5858. 800-776-5858. When we come back, I'll elaborate on what could happen other than Steve Hilton in the 1 o'clock hour. And then again, it may be a regular visit with Steve. We don't quite know yet, but I'll tell you what's going on in case you haven't heard. This is KMJ.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
This is the Ray Appleton Show.
Get Ray Appleton.
KMJNow.com.
Click the podcast page.
Without going into detail, tomorrow we're going to have, is it tomorrow, Michael, the scamming expert? I think that's tomorrow. Yes. We're going to have an expert on in the area of scamming. Yeah, we have experts on scamming now. I mean, it's gotten that bad in this country. Friday night, I may have been the victim of a scam. I'm not going to go into detail just yet. I did get a text today from somebody that you all know that is big in either past, present law enforcement, I'm not saying which, confirming that witnesses and videotape pretty much indicate that this was something that... it was not good, and certainly I was, you know, they were trying to blame something on me, these individuals who happen to be from China, that you know, I had no part of. So that's, I'll just leave you with that, and then we'll go into the story tomorrow. And when it was the end of a perfect day, because that was the Friday, Friday the 13th, I had a pipe blow in my new condominium in the cement foundation of the home. Hey, that's great, and now my whole home needs to be repiped. And I haven't even lived there a full week yet. Well, I guess it's been a full week. So, I mean, there's no hot water, no showers, no, you know, no clean dishes, no clean clothes. And I should start stinking up really well by around Thursday. So, God almighty. So anyway, tomorrow we're going to be doing that. In the next hour, at the top, one of two things is going to happen. We're either going to be talking with Steve Hilton like we normally do, or we're going to be going to a press conference that deals with the Goshen Massacre. The killing of six, including a baby that's got the handprints, the fingerprints of you know, gangs and cartels all over it. But we haven't heard it really too much to confirm that, have we, Michael? That's been very quiet. Phone calls. Chad, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi there. Glad you got my call.
Yeah.
I was in the Air Force back in the 50s, a radar operator in Japan. We were involved in two sightings by radar.
Ooh.
That kind of feed into the idea that we might have been looking at some higher technology than was possible at the time.
Uh-huh.
Both of them were aircraft moving at speeds far in excess and altitude far in excess of anything that was available at the time, way beyond. But since that time, both of those, both the speed and the altitude, have been eclipsed by what we're able to do today.
Ah.
So it just gives kind of credence the idea that there could be something out there that nobody believes could is even possible yet, that in 20 years will be possible. So I just wanted to throw that in.
May I ask how you reacted to this sighting, this technology, when you encountered it?
Okay, and of course we were watching for Russians over there all the time, so we were very interested in what they were doing.
Sure,
so we were watching Siberia.
Days in the buildup of the Cold War, okay, exactly.
The first one, I was the person on the scope, so I was the one watching it. And the speed, like I say, was so far in excess of anything we had, and the altitude was unbelievable. It actually finally got out of range of our radar, too high for our radar. And I didn't report it. I thought to myself, you know, whatever that is, there's nothing we can do about it.
That was going to be my next question. Did you report it? Yeah, okay. Go on. I'm sorry.
I did not report it.
Okay.
The second one, at that point, it was somebody else on the scope, and I had advanced to where I was supposed to identify and make sense of everything that was happening down there. So I'm watching it real close. And again, it was something so fast and so high that it was impossible. But he called it in. And I got a call from a general, a three-star general down about 500 miles away, really grilled me about it. And, you know, I thought to myself, if I acknowledge that this is probably a vehicle, I'm going to be down there for days being grilled. And so I fabricated. I said, you know, that's a brand new man on the scope. He hasn't had a lot of training yet.
Uh-huh.
I'm pretty sure that he just turned in some what we called interference. Because we get, you know, you get interference on radar scope, but you learn how to, I knew how to differentiate. And that was not interference, but I thought, okay, I don't want to get in this. So he must have grilled me for 20 minutes. And I just kept repeating, sir, it's a brand new man on the scope. I'm sure it's just interference.
Wow.
So I weaseled out of it.
may I ask the amount of time between the two sightings, the one you saw and the one that this newbie saw?
Probably at least 2-3 months.
Oh, so it was pretty close together.
I was over there for 18 months, so I was just over there for less than 18 months, about 16 months. So it was within that time frame.
This, again, is while you were in Japan.
Yes, and by the first one, I'd had a lot of training. I'd been, you know, I was good on the scope. I knew what I was doing. I'd had a lot of experience. And the other one was at least a couple, 3 months later than that. So it was all sometime in 1956.
When I was 6 years old. Amazing. Thank you for your service, and thank you for the phone call. I really appreciate it.
Cheers. Cheers.
All right.
You're welcome.
Very good. This stuff has been going on a long time. I mean, you know, we've pretty much debunked reason, and there are reasons for it. You know, we have all of these cave drawings of what appear to be men in, spacesuits. And I've seen some really good and read some really good explanations of those as of late that clearly indicate that nothing to do with spacesuits and aliens and all that, even though there's a whole culture out there that believes that. And it could very well be true. But I can only imagine being in the military and seeing something like this. And especially if you've got a few years under your belt, seeing your whole career flash before your mind, if indeed you report this. But apparently now, as according to Ratcliffe, more and more are reporting it, and there's no repercussions. So there's a culture out there that's now used to this and somewhat acceptant of it in the military, I would think. This is KMJ.
It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast, wherever you listen.